From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports the city received another clean audit letter over the weekend, raising local hope San Diego may soon be able to borrow money on the municipal bond market again. The city's had to take out private loans at higher interest rates for a number of years now because of bad bookkeeping. So bad that in 2006, the Securities and Exchange Commission found San Diego committed securities fraud. A grass fire next to a commercial building in Anaheim caused a chemical tank to burst last night, forcing fire officials to evacuate 35 businesses, shut down a freeway off-ramp, and send 10 firefighters to the hospital with moderate injuries. The fire's out now. No word yet on the cause. As the weather turns warm, state health officials are gearing up to battle West Nile virus. 8 birds in 2 counties have already died this year from the disease. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports the mosquitoes that carry the virus find an ideal breeding ground in the abandoned swimming pools of foreclosed homes.
West Nile has sickened some 2,300 people in California over the last 5 years, and it's killed nearly 10,000 birds. It's not unusual for it to hit birds in San Diego early in the year, but in Northern California, it's usually waited until at least mid-June to strike. So when a dead crow turned up in Sacramento County last week, Gary Goodman was concerned. He's assistant manager with the Sacramento YOLO Mosquito Vector Control District.
We want people to be aware that this isn't just something that happens just in the summertime. What some people think about West Nile virus is that, you know, we've had it a couple of years and it's not that big of a deal. And we're here to tell you that West Nile virus is not going to go away.
Mosquito fighters are warning people to clean their gutters and swimming pools, and they're enlisting some new allies, asking realtors and banks to help alert them to foreclosed homes. One dirty swimming pool can serve as a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Helicopters are out scanning neighborhoods for foreclosed homes with murky pools or muddy bird baths, too. The state's been funding some of those local efforts through dollars allocated when the governor declared a West Nile emergency last year. But this year, there's no state funding in the governor's proposed budget to help counties fight the virus. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
San Francisco may have been the first city in the country to ban plastic bags, but a year after supervisors approved the landmark law, it's clear the city by the bay won't be the last to yank those flimsy bags from major grocery stores. The ban has helped spawn a few cottage industries in California and blazed a path that cities around the world are following. David Gorn reports.
San Francisco politician Ross Mercurimi didn't know just what a stir he was going to cause. It was a year ago this week when the San Francisco Board of Supervisors passed his bill to ban 180 million plastic bags a year from the city's grocery stores. Now, cities across the U.S., including Boston, Portland, Phoenix, are considering similar bans on plastic bags. China's instituting a nationwide ban. France and Australia are considering them. And so are other cities and countries around the world, Mercurimi says.
This has been probably one of the most interesting wildfires of common sense, and I'm delighted and proud that San Francisco was the first city in the United States to have kickstarted this.
The ban has had a few unintended consequences in the marketplace as well. Up in Oroville, one manufacturer of plastic bags actually got a boost from the ban. Roplast Manufacturing makes large, thick, reusable plastic bags. They contain more plastic than the flimsy single-use bags. But in the long term, says Roplast President Robert Bateman, it's actually much better for the environment.
This bag will hold 5 or 6 times as much as the standard disposable bag, and it is reusable. It can dramatically change the amount of plastic used.
Roplast recently struck a deal with Lucky Grocery Stores. Most cloth reusable bags cost $1 or more, but these plastic ones, Bateman says, cost a quarter.
They get one of these bags from Lucky's. They pay 25 cents. They get 5 cents back for every use. And if they can use it 50 times with no trouble. And so they're going to make money out of this.
Of course, those thicker, heavier plastic bags are still plastic. If you don't like that idea, Roplast has another choice. It's one of 2 companies in the world to produce compostable plastic bags, Bateman says. Now, compostable plastic may seem like a contradiction in terms, but Bateman says it makes sense to use plastic that degrades. Environmentalists point out that even if compostable plastic bags do make it to a compost pile, they degrade, but they don't biodegrade. That is, they break down, but they just break down into smaller bits of plastic. Just up the highway, in the town of Chico, Andy Keller has another idea. But first, he has to show off the bag monster. It's a jumpsuit festooned with 500 plastic grocery bags, the number the average consumer accumulates in a year. The bag monster visits schools to make an environmental point.
Yeah, kids can be a little bit scared by the bag monster costume.
It is scary on many levels. Keller's answer to it is the Chico bag, an environmentally friendly nylon fiber carrying bag that folds up into a tiny wallet-sized stuff sack. When the Chico bag is held in the palm of your hand, it looks like a really, really tiny sleeping bag.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, I have one on my belt loop here. People carry them in their purse, you know, in their back pocket. People put them in the cup holders or in the glove box of their car, and allows them to have a bag whenever they need it.
And it has hit a nerve. Chico bag sales have taken off. They're featured in high-end stores. They're getting celebrity endorsements. Now, the grocery store industry would like to keep its plastic bags. They're cheaper than paper. Grocery officials are hoping that recycling of plastic bags becomes a more viable option. At present, the bin outside of stores collect and recycle only about 1% of plastic bags nationwide. But the grocery stores think that number could climb dramatically, says Dave Hyland of the California Grocers Association.
But what I think retailers want to offer to consumers is as many options as possible, to offer the option of either a plastic bag, a paper bag, or, you know, a reusable bag.
The plastics industry is aggressively trying to stop plastic bag bans. The Bay Area city of Fairfax last week abandoned its bag ban under threat of a lawsuit. The plastic bag industry said it would sue on environmental grounds. By banning plastic, the argument went, it's a tacit endorsement of paper. And paper bags are made from trees. So a plastic ban, the industry said, might actually hurt the environment. For the California Report, I'm David Gorn.
That's the California Report for Monday, March 24th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.